living in a world of great turmoil and confusion. I do not recall in my lifetime since World War II that there's been a moment like this. Maybe never before have we been threatened as we are being threatened today. And some people are even predicting that we are headed toward a nuclear war, which would be something that is far beyond imagination. I was at Hiroshima just after the Japanese war. I'll never forget, they wouldn't let you go near some areas. And also in North Korea. We went to North Korea. Franklin has a wonderful work with Samaritan's Purse there. And if ever a place needs prayer, it's that. There are very few believers in North Korea, but there are some. You know, I thought a great deal about what I would say here today. Unfortunately, I'm getting too old to do this. And I thought on the way out, this may be the last time I'll have an opportunity to preach the gospel to an audience like this. And to have Cliff Burrows here and George Beverly Shea. We've been faithful and stalwart friends and co-laborers for 60 years. It's been an amazing relationship that only the Holy Spirit could have done. And to come here at the invitation of my son, Franklin, you know, you'd have to be the father of a man like this to realize how proud you are. And so happy to have a son that's preaching the gospel like he is. I'm grateful. His grandmother and my mother taught me a verse of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in the beginning, he says, for God. You know, you can't put God in a test tube. You cannot prove scientifically the existence of God. You can't see him on a computer screen. But that doesn't mean that he's not real. He is the creator. Everything was created by God. The space shuttle Discovery lifted off on Tuesday. All the stars we see spread over the entire sky are part of the Milky Way galaxy. But that galaxy is only a small fragment of the entire universe, in which there are millions and billions of galaxies beyond what they thought was the last one. The research center that operates the Hubble is right here in Baltimore. Genesis, the first chapter, tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And over here at the National Aquarium, which is one of the most beautiful in the world, you can see just a tiny fraction of the beautiful fish that God has created. Every day I take a walk, and the only place I can walk at my home is up a hill on the side of a mountain. And I have a walker, as you saw me just a minute ago. I've fallen twice and broke a hip, and one broke on the other side as well. And I have to look down when I walk, and I see all kinds of insects that I never noticed before. And I thought to myself, God created each one of those. And each one has a digestive tract of some sort. They're all hunting something to eat. God is the creator of everything, including you. God is a spirit. God isn't a body like yours and mine. He's a spirit. He can be everywhere at the same time. God is unchanging. The scripture says, I'm the Lord, I change not. There's been no change in God from billions of years past and won't be for billions of years to come. He's unchanging. God is also holy. The scripture says he is holy in all his works. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong, the scripture says. God is also a judge. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You are going to die. I'm going to die. And after that will be a judgment. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, the scripture says. When you break a law, you pay the price. You've broken God's law. We've broken the Ten Commandments. If you've broken one of the commandments, you've broken them all. And we're all sinners. And we're all under the threat of judgment. There was a popular song years ago, "I won't stay in a world without love." You don't have to, because God loves you. No matter what your sin or background, you can't do anything outside the love of God. If you go to hell, if you go to heaven, wherever you go, the love of God is there. Now, God placed man in a beautiful garden called Eden, which is a part of Iraq. By the way, there's more to say in the Bible about Iraq than there is any other part of the Middle East. More to say about that than more to say about Israel. And when man placed him, he was perfect. He and his wife Eve were perfect. But one day they had a choice. They had a choice to obey God, to follow God, or to disobey him. They chose to disobey him. The scripture says, "But you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." But man was tempted. I do not understand how the devil became a serpent. I don't understand how terrific he must have been to lure Eve and Adam into sin. We know that there's something wrong with human nature. Terrorism, war, greed, immorality, racial tensions. You know, people used to look to technology to save them. Now we're afraid technology will destroy us. Man has a terminal disease. Sin is the transgression of the law. How many of the Ten Commandments have you kept? Try to name them. We haven't kept many of them. The scripture says, "All we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." And the end of that kind of road is death and judgment and hell. The scripture says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're alienated from God. We're under the sentence of death. What kind of death? Natural death. You go driving by a cemetery, that reminds us that we're going to die. It reminds me of a man from the city who was passing through a little mountain town near where we live in North Carolina. He stopped to buy some gas and was talking with an elderly man who ran the gas station. The man from the city said, "This looks like pretty healthy country around here. What's the death rate in this town?" The old man replied, "Just one to a person. Just one to a person." That's natural death. But then there's spiritual death. Some of the words in the New Testament used by Christ describe the penalty of sin: lost, perish, condemned, punishment, hell, torment. We were in New Zealand once. I remember that we had spoken at the university. And I had mentioned the fact that there was a hell. And one of the students came to see us late at night, and he was admonishing me for mentioning that. He said, "You can't talk about that here at a university." I asked him, "Suppose you went out to the airport and got on a plane for Sydney, Australia, and they told you there's a 10% chance you couldn't make it. Would you take the plane?" "No," he said, "I wouldn't." I said, "Suppose there's just a 10% chance there is a hell. Is it worth ignoring the way of salvation through Christ?" You know, God loved us so much. One day I was walking with one of my sons down the mountain path, and we stepped on an anthill. A lot of ants were suffering, and their little house had been destroyed. And we got down and looked, and I thought to myself, I wish we could go down and help them rebuild. But we couldn't. We were too big and they were too little. God looked down on this planet and saw us as little ants. He saw that we were destroying ourselves. And God found a way. He decided to become a man. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He was God in the flesh. He came to tell us that he loved us.